AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Are the sinners that keep on trying.
I can relate to that. Petros and Money. AM 570 LA Sports Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You can procure your podcast through that app. Put it on the board. You can download, listen at your leisure, but you can also stream live. And that's important for tonight if you don't feel like being attached to the house, watching it on the TV, stuck in your car, listening on the radio. You can listen to Rick and Charlie through the AM 570 LA Sports icon when you tap that on your smart device. After downloading the iHeartRadio app, you can stream Dodger games for free. Enjoy your Friday night. You worked hard enough all week.
You worked hard.
You're working all week. Go out there and enjoy. See, now I'm stuck.
Matt, now not only does Matt do his Mad Dog imitation during the show.
I'm playing you clips.
He does it during the breaks, and he plays me clips of Mad Dog during the breaks. And on
it's great though, right?
On his way up, sometimes on his way up, he tries to get on with Mad Dog so he can give Mad Dog his Mad Dog invitation. And even though Matt is literally one of 30 NFL, 32 NFL play-by-play guys.
This is what entertains me.
Works on NFL Network, big face on TV, Petros and Money Show for a long time now. A long-time personality in town.
I want to get your opinion. What do you got for me? Let me hear.
All Matt does is sit around and stan. That's what the kids say.
What does that mean?
The Mad Dog.
That means like I'm like all
you're,
about
you're
him.
A fan.
I got a boner for the dog.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And you do.
I do.
You got a red rocket for the Mad Dog.
I love it.
You really do.
Today he was on a rant of rants.
He went after Joe Davis today.
He went after Joe Davis today. Indirectly.
Is that your word of the day?
Sure.
What is your word of the day?
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Word of the day is baseball. If you're the commissioner of baseball, how are you going to let Joe Buck go and call the Tampa Green Bay game? What is that? What kind of message does that send to baseball? You're the home of the World Series. Let me get this straight. The guy's going to be in a booth for six straight days with John Smoltz, and they're going to be doing all the analysis on Friday.
The Mad Dog.
On Saturday.
The Mad Dog is a famous, for those of you that don't know, the Mad Dog is a very famous sportscaster from the East Coast.
From WFAN.
Yes. And Mike.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Yeah, Mike Francesca, Chris Mad Dog Russell.
You probably heard of him. And he's almost like a cartoon parody of an East Coast screaming.
It really is.
Talking head.
My mind's eye is a cartoon.
And he looks a lot like that. He's got a nice side part, and he looks a lot like that. But today he attacked Joe Davis, and that just sent Matt into
Let me see if you can get a little bit.
That sent Matt into a different.
It's baseball that a regular season NFL game is more important than who wins the NFL pennant. That's what you're telling baseball. I mean, there's a million football. It's not the Super Bowl. Wow. I'm shocked by that. And I know Buck's done this in the past. Don't get me wrong.
He has.
I understand that Joe's done this in the past where, you know, he
Which
he,
Joe?
In the middle of a World Series, he's doing a football game back to the World Series game. But he doesn't miss a World Series game. The Thursday night game is a non-World Series night. But this is a joke. Alpha and White Plains. He's with us here, and he's on Mad Dog Nation.
Al's pissed.
Al, take
he didn't like it either.
Back with us. Let me hear your thoughts. Go ahead.
White Plains, New York.
Is this better?
This is better. Yes.
No, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Plays. It's ridiculous in White Plains.
Joe Davis will give you a professional call, and it's not the World Series.
He said,
right?
I
it's not the World
it.
Series.
Not the World Series, but Joe Davis. Joe Davis. It's a Dodgers broadcast. It's unbearable. Can't do that. Can't bring him in.
What about Joe Buck all those years with the Cards?
Apparently, he gets free pass for that.
What about Vin Scully all those years with the Dodgers?
If I'm Rob Manfred, and you're taking my guy off of Game 7 with the Dodgers to do a Tampa game?
The best thing is Joe Davis is going to tweet Mad Dog, thank you for your input.
Right.
Chris?
Perhaps we've raised the issue if Joe wasn't listening earlier, but Mad Dog not happy he would be on the call for a Game 7. He wants Joe Buck and John Smoltz, who have been there, six days in a row. And for the pivotal game of what team is going to represent the National League in the World Series, and you're going to put Joe Davis on?
What's your take on that? Give it to
me. Let me get your take on it. What do you got, Al? I agree with you, Dog. I agree with you completely.
Let's get out to White Plains, where Al is waiting.
You know, he's the star of the network. He's the number one baseball guy. It's a Game 7 if we get there. And he's not there. But look, I mean, it's the fifth game of the NFL season. Enough already.
Enough.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Well, you know, if I was the commissioner of the sport,
we're going to be fine.
Get somebody else in. Get Kenny Albert in there. I don't know if somebody in there. But if I was the commissioner of the
Kenny
sport,
Albert in there.
Kenny doesn't do baseball.
It's one thing to play second fiddle to the NFL. But you're going to take my play-by-play guy away from a Dodger Brave Game 7?
Well, I'll tell you why.
NFL game. I know it's Green Bay Tampa.
Because Aikman only worked with Brenneman
right, as
the backup, and Brenneman is gone. Yeah, because of something he said on a Royals game.
The whole series, Joe Davis. And Joe Davis is a Dodger announcer, which makes it worse.
Here we go.
That, to me, bothers
me. Yes, he is.
Bothers me.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, he is.
Joe Davis?
You're going to embarrass me where I got to fly a guy in to do a game that hasn't done the whole series? Joe Davis? And Joe Davis is a Dodger announcer, which makes it worse.
Poor Joe.
Right? All he's doing is his job. Fox is going to fly him in because Aikman won't do it without Buck.
And they can't send Joe to go do the NFL game because he's got a college game on Saturday.
Fly a guy in to do a game that hasn't done the whole series? Joe Davis? And Joe Davis is a Dodger announcer, which makes it worse.
See?
That one turned me. That one got me
that's
pretty
what
good.
What you're gonna do, and you're gonna, and you're gonna
good,
embarrass
man.
Me, where I gotta fly a guy in to do a game that hasn't done the whole series, Joe Davis, and Joe Davis is a Dodger announcer, which makes it worse.
That to me bothers me.
That to you, Al, in White Plains bothers me.
What's your take on that?
What is your take on that, Al? What do you think? Okay, that's a good call. That's a good call, Al.
Well, David Vasse seemed a little bit neutered today, but not in bad spirits. Perhaps he feels the valley in his veins.
Could be. It's really a win-win for DV. You've been in the bubble for a week plus.
Yeah.
Or it's another week and you get to watch a World Series and the Dodgers perhaps win their first World Series since 1988, or you get to come home.
I have it on good authority that the Clippers saw it as a win-win when they were ejected from the bubble.
I could see that.
Ronnie, the song of the day.
This is the song of the day.
Ta-da.
Positive Vibration is the title of our song of the day from Bob Marley and the Wailers. Because the Petros and Money Show's live on your AM radio frequency on a Frogman Friday, sending positive vibrations Frogman? To the Dodgers, who have their backs against the wall going into Game 5 of the NLCS.
I thought you were going Huey Lewis today, Ronnie, for sure.
You're
like, I thought you, you
went positive spin.
You went Quando yesterday, and now today?
You're today like, he's
trying
decided,
to mix
yeah.
it up, trying to provide a little bit of hope where there seems that there's none. And hoping that the Dodgers can extend the NLCS to a Game 6. We'll find that out tonight.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Tim Cates will be around getting you ready for your Dodger pregame show, the playoff edition, coming up at 5 o'clock.
How did it work out for Bob Marley? Attempted assassination, shot in the chest, wife shot in the head.
Didn't go well.
Then he died of cancer.
That's not a very good parallel, Pete.
Well, that's just the true story.
I don't like it. Go Dodgers.
It's one thing to play second fiddle to the NFL. But you're going to take my play-by-play guy away from a Dodger Brave Game 7 to flop him on an NFL game? I know it's Green Bay Tampa.
Sound courtesy of SiriusXM.
That's what you're going to do? And you're going to embarrass me where I got to fly a guy in?
Eric Dickerson next.
The whole series, Joe Davis.
Make way for the positive day.
This hour of the Petros and Money Show podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah!
Blue Chew.
It's nothing to be ashamed of,
guys. No,
it's not. Blue Chew brings you the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. Now in a chewable form, the first ever to do it.
Yeah, it does. And you can even do it with a full stomach and still get the lead you need in your pencil.
Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and be all embarrassed or wait in line at the pharmacy.
Yeah, get over yourself. Who cares? Like, you're the only one that wants to have a real pencil going, you know what I'm saying, brother? With all the lead necessary to do the job?
It ships right to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we got a special deal for the listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And your first shipment is free when you use the special promo code PMS. Just pay $5 shipping.
To hell with being embarrassed. Scream it from the rooftops. I chew blue with Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. Promo code PMS. Try it free.
They're tweeting. They're on Facebook, Instagram. Interact with the show at AM570LASports.com.
For you, our loyal listener.
Petros and Money continues now.
Now. Now. Now. Now.
Day off in Kyoto.
Of course, you got the days, too. Petros and Money,
yeah.
Back on the air and happy to be with you on AM570 LA Sports. The Dodgers are on the brink of elimination. Will that bring out a sense of urgency in this team? Who's to say? We'll see. There will be a game tomorrow if the Dodgers win tonight. And if they win that one, there'll be a game on Sunday.
I think the Dodgers can win that.
Hour and a half to Dodgers on deck with the great Tim Cates.
And Eric.
Nobody better.
Eric Dickerson is presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit your local dealer today and test drive a Ford F-150, the best-selling full-size pickup in California.
You know, he's got a book coming out.
He does. Little detail about it. And an SI.com column, as a matter of fact. Very excited to get into that, along with the Rams contest against the 49ers this week.
He's always very candid.
Darn right.
The great Eric Dickerson joins us on the Petros and Money Show. What's cracking, ED? How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're all right.
We're all right. You know, we're not NFL Hall of Famers or Ram Ambassadors, but we're trying our best. You know, we don't have a book coming out or anything, but we're out here trying our best. You know, Eric, one thing is weird. You know, it always seems like the team that loses the Super Bowl, even they're not the second best team in football at the end of the year, even though they are. Everybody looks at them like they're the biggest losers in football because that was the last game and they lost it. And then it kind of always seems to carry over. I mean, the 49ers are really struggling this year.
Well, they're struggling for a lot of reasons. I think one of the main reasons is the quarterback isn't playing well, and they have a lot of injuries, you know, and people don't realize, I mean, you realize this as a former player, you know, when you're playing with backups, it's hard. I mean, you got bodies out there, yeah, they have football numbers on, they're in a pro uniform, but those guys, a lot of the backups, they're just not as good, and that's what the 49ers are dealing with right now, a whole lot of injuries, even though, don't get me wrong, I never want to see a player get hurt. But I'm not a 49er fan, so I'm glad they're struggling.
ED, when you look at...
I remember when they slapped the ball away, when Ronnie Lott slapped the ball away from Henry Ellard, and I'm not over that either.
That's why you like to see him. You still don't want him to get injured, though.
No. I'm not rooting for him.
But you like to see him struggling.
I do enjoy it.
Do you buy...
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Exactly. Right. Do you buy Jimmy Garoppolo as a franchise quarterback? Is he someone that you would want to have long-term and believe in long-term to lead your franchise?
Watching him play this year and his injury history, no. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And that could change. I mean, that really could change. You know, what they asked him to do, I know in San Francisco, they're a running football team. They run first like the Cowboys, like the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, as his career has went along, you see, he's very injury prone. And, you know, the whole saying, you can't make the club in the tub. And he seems to be hurt a lot and you know, just not playing up to par. I mean, because, you know, I think the San Francisco 49ers had high hopes this year. I mean, they had hopes of going back to the Super Bowl, you know, possibly winning the NFC West, which we don't want that to happen. But, you know, right now they're really struggling. And it showed in week one, you know, playing against the Arizona Cardinals.
Aaron Donald was selected 13th in the 2014 NFL Draft. 12 players went ahead of him. And the Rams had two firsts that year because of the RG3 trade. And they didn't even take him with their first rounder. They took Greg Robinson, who wasn't even in the league anymore. What, when you look at players in college, ED, and you watch college football and you try to project what they're going to look like in the NFL, how did the most dominant defensive force that we have seen in probably 20 years in the NFL slip by 11 picks in front of him, to considering what he's been able to do? I think he's got 78 sacks so far. The only players over the same span of time that have more, like Reggie White, J.J. Watt, and Von Miller. And he's a defensive tackle.
Yeah. You know, it can happen. It really can happen. You know, one of the main things is with these scouts and these general managers on these teams, they start listening to other coaches and their buddies. Oh, man, you know, he's not that good. Or, you know, I'm telling you what I heard. You know, he's not this, he's not that. And they start believing that crap. Instead of sometimes looking at the eye test. The eye test can tell you a lot about a guy. You know, and you talk to him and watch him. Watch him when he's playing, when he's having a down Sunday or a down Saturday, you know, not playing well. How does he come back and play the next week? You know, how does he handle adversity when the team is losing but he's playing well? Or vice versa. You know, and a lot of players, you know, they don't get a fair shot because of sometimes what another, say, general manager said or a bad mouth. And the guy could be a great player, and they just have to slip through the cracks. And they're not saying, you know, that Aaron did because he was a first rounder. But, you know, and I think one thing is his size. You look at his size, he's only about 6'1", max 6'2", but I think he's about 6'1". But the thing is, man, he is so quick off the ball. I mean, it is amazing how quick he is and how dominant he is up front. I mean, I'm an offensive player, but I love watching him play. I mean, he's just that dominant.
Great defensive lineman, maybe one of the best we've ever seen, just like Reggie White, who the great Eric Dickerson played against. Our guest, Hall of Famer and champion of the people and Rambassador, joining us on the Petrosyan Money Show like he does on most Frogman Fridays. Now, Erica, pro football teams are a little different from college. College football teams, it really does take a month to really understand what your identity is as a college football team and a group of young guys. But pro football teams still are that way to a certain degree. It feels like the Rams have established their identity without Todd Gurley. Would you agree with that? I mean, defensively, their identity is Aaron Donald wrecking people's lives. But offensively, what is their – do they feel like a team that has a playoff identity offensively to you?
Yes. When I look at the Rams, and I last year, I think they were – at one point, they were 3-1. I think I said this last week. They were 3-1 after four weeks. And I'm like, they're not a good football team. They're not playing on all cylinders. They're not hitting on all cylinders. There's something missing. And I could see that last year. This year, even though I think they're 4-1, they're playing a lot better. They really are. I mean, they play well as a group. The defense is playing a lot better. They're not giving up these big gashing plays back-to-back. You know, one minute they play great, next minute they play horrible. When they play great one quarter, they play horrible the next quarter. They're not doing that. You know, offensively, you know, they're look, we throw the football, but we run the football too. So, you know, I got to give Sean McVay credit, and I was very critical of him last year and even before. I mean, I really believe that he likes to throw the football, but this year, you know, he's done both. He's done what it takes to win. That's what it comes down to. You have to adapt to what they give you. If they give you the pass, you take the pass. If they give you the run, you take the run. You don't force something. That's what a lot of coaches do. The old saying is, we tried to fool them. We're going to fool them. You're not going to fool them for long. So, I mean, I got to say that our football team right now, they have an identity of just a high-powered offense. They can run it, they can throw it, and they play great defense.
Speaking of running it, your first full season in Indy, you ran the hell out of the ball. I mean, 1,700 yards, 14 touchdowns. Indy has a bit of an issue right now. They have the best offensive line in the league. They've got one of the better defenses in the league, and they got a quarterback that people around here certainly know well in Phillip Rivers that is throwing some back-breaking interceptions to lose games. And it's a carryover from last year. How does that go over in a locker room, ED, when that's happening in games against Jacksonville and then just last week again, just a brutal pick six to lose that game against the Browns?
Is that somebody laughing in the background?
That's Petros laughing as we're
I'm
talking
sorry,
about
Philip Rivers. It was just the way he said back-breaking. It was pretty good.
You know what? I like Philip Rivers as a player, but sometimes, you know, your time has passed you. And that is one of the things that he does the worst. They'll be moving the ball great, about to score, and boom, not just a pick, but a pick for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man, you can't do that. That's frustrating. Let me tell you something, in the locker room, you don't want to ever call your guys out. You don't. That's not what it's all about. But sometimes you have to. You just have to, because if you're playing bad, as a player, even as myself, if I wasn't playing good, I'd call myself out, hey, man, you know, I'm struggling right now. You know, I'm not playing good. You know, the offensive line give me the holes, but, you know, I'm missing them. Well, I'm just not hitting it up in there. As a quarterback, you got to call yourself out. He is not playing good football. I mean, I said this last year. I said, Philip Rivers has to go. He's killing the Chargers. He's killing Anthony Lynn. He's killing that football team. You know, with these back, and like you said, these back-breaking interceptions. Back-breaking. I mean, and let me tell you something. As a former player, you go, what the? Man, come on, dog. You can't do that.
They're saying it in Indy right now. My back is broken. The great Eric Dickerson.
My back is broken.
Bacchiotomy. The great Eric Dickerson is our guest, a Hall of Famer and a true champion. Now, Eric, you paved the way for a lot of great running backs, and there were guys that came before you. What do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to accomplish in Kansas City? And for a guy who's, you know, been in one place where he had a lot of success and, you know, a place like Indy was more difficult, what do you think he's going to be like in Kansas City?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When Le'Veon left Pittsburgh, I said his style of running is not conducive to every offensive line. That offensive line knows him. They knows how he runs. He's been there his whole career. And I always say, I said he's going to struggle. I said, you'll see he will struggle because, you know, like stopping and starting, you know, and kind of waiting, you know, that's not the kind of football I'm used to.
I mean,
and most offensive lines aren't. They used to, you know, hold us open, hit it, you know, hit. That's what you're taught. So, I mean, I think it's a good move for him to go to a good football team. The Jets are a bad football team. You know, Jets are a bad organization, if you ask me. I mean, it always starts at the top. They've been bad for a long time for some reason. But, you know, for him, I'm happy for him. But, you know, we've got to see if it works. I mean, they have a young running back there right now. I mean, so let's see if they're, you know, and then right now, you know, everybody's the two-back system, But Le'Veon is used to being the guy. You know, he used to being the feature back. So, let's see how it works. I'm happy for him in that aspect, but I still think that his best years are behind him when he was at Pittsburgh.
We've been losing a lot of legends this year, you know, in baseball, Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, Whitey Ford just passed away, and also in football, Gale Sayers, and now Fred Dean, someone you played against, I believe, when you were in the NFC West, and he was a 49er, and seemed to be a lot of tributes. And interesting stories. It seemed like an extremely interesting, wonderful individual that you're hearing in the tributes. My favorite is that he used to go specifically into the training room and the workout room to smoke his cigarettes and not work out. For whatever reason, that's why he preferred to smoke his cigarettes. What do you remember about Fred Dean, E.D.?
Man, I have a very vivid memory of Fred Dean. And I didn't know who he was. We played him, I think it was my rookie season. And they had me line up outside, like, you know, not right behind the quarterback, but outside to run like a swing route. And Fred Dean was covering me. I'll never forget he was covering me. And I'm like, this guy cannot cover me. Well, he was right with me. I got to say, he was right. I'm like, and I was shocked. And they threw me the pass. I caught it, but he almost caught me before I got to the end zone. I'm like, this big man can run. I mean, I still have that image in my mind. I have a highlight of it. That is my image of Fred Dean. And you're talking about a guy that's a soft-spoken guy. Fred was a very soft-spoken guy. I mean, didn't talk loud. You know, they say, you know, speak soft and carry a big stick. That was Fred Dean. I mean, and it's such a nice man.
Well, he wouldn't have been soft-spoken if you had stopped to catch that ball.
You're right about that.
He's trying to tear you up, Eric. We love you. God rest his soul, and all the great greats that we lose. Seems like too many every year. Eric, we love you. Thanks for joining us, and we always appreciate our friends.
Over there at your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit your local dealer today. Test drive a Ford F-150. Best-selling full-size pickup in California. Have a great weekend, ED. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
Great stuff. Philip, you've broken our backs.
Back-breaking.
The back of the city of Indianapolis has been broken by you.
Twitter was not kind. Twitter's never kind. Ever.
That's what happens when you scuttle a boat, you know, Matt? Her back is broken. We must scuttle it.
That's what he's done.
So Frogman Friday.
He has scuttled the Colts Clipper ship.
Well, what we're going to have to do then is get in our U-boat, move away from Rivers about a couple hundred yards, or Mitras, and fire a torpedo at him and scuttle him. There's still sailors on that boat! Oh, my God! Why weren't they rescued?
What do we have next? Speaking of...
F1!
Where was that race held?
Eiffel. Eiffel Mountains.
And Das Boot.
Yeah, the Eiffel Grand Prix.
Hey, now. F1 report next.
Yeah, they're going to Portugal in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a party.
Heroin.
Get me and money on your smart speaker.
Mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
I won't put you in your place. I won't throw it back in your face when you get yours.
Big thank you to ED. Eric Dickerson joins us every single Friday. We will get more football as both the Raiders and Chargers are on buys this week. Take some inventory of the silver and black coming off that big victory against the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Still one more hour to go, and then we'll get two Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates at 5 p.m. First pitch, 6:08. A.J. Minter for the Braves, Dustin May for the Dodgers.
All right, Matt, we are excited about the Dodgers and hesitant, worried. But it's time for the F1 report, because we have to do it.
What?
Popular demand, that's what. The F1 calendar returned last weekend to the ring in Nürburgring for the Eiffel Grand Prix. 11th race of the season, all eyes would be on Lewis Allright Hamilton as he tried to equal the great German champion Michael Schumacher.
What a place to do it, too.
Allright Hamilton.
91st Grand Prix win. Not only was this a circuit that had not appeared on the F1 calendar since 2013, but at a weekend forecast of wet weather, cool track conditions, Friday's practice sessions canceled, maybe it wouldn't be the usual jaunt for the defending world champ. And it kind of played out like that. On qualifying day, Valtteri Bottas and the other Mercedes and the winner of the last race at Sochi took the pole from the history-seeking Hamilton, his teammate. But on race day, Hamilton proved why he is that guy. Six-time world champ, one of the greats.
What a place to do it.
I mean, you could describe the drive as efficient, effective, almost methodical, annoying, like his voice.
Boring.
Hamilton pressed his pole sitter teammate from lights out, forced Bottas to counter on the rundown into turn one of the initial lap. And Bottas had a lead until lap 13, but he locked up because of the rain. Hamilton swept past him, would not relinquish the lead again. Bottas retired his Silver Arrow 6 laps later, and I was downstairs in my basement doing something private.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a private room.
Sure.
And my son blew into the room and goes, Mercedes is out!
Bottas!
Mercedes is out of the race! Nice. And I looked back, I was like, for real?
Doesn't anybody knock around here anymore?
Doesn't anybody up and knock? After a restart, Lando Norris parked his McLaren on top of gravel there on lap 44 of 60. And that was the only other challenge for Hamilton.
Right, Hamilton.
Schumacher's son, Mick, was looking on from the pit wall.
What a place to do it.
He wasn't going to let it get away. He handled the restart, kept my flat-billed Max Verstappen of Red Bull at bay, took the checkered flag by 4 seconds. Mercedes' first win at the Nürburgring since 1954 when Juan Manuel Fangio took the victory.
Fangio could race.
In 50s, yeah.
Big straight grandpa.
In straight numbers, Hamilton has achieved his 91st Grand Prix win in 260 starts. Schumacher achieved 91 in 246.
Impressive.
He's better. But at 35, Hamilton should push that number well into triple digits
all
before
right,
he's
Hamilton.
Done. An astonishing accomplishment. The Dutchman Verstappen would bring the Red Bull home for another second place finish.
Who else was on that podium?
Well, here we go, Matt, and we have sound. Your favorite, the prodigiously snouted Aussie Daniel Ricciardo, would round out the podium for Renault. It would be Ricciardo's first podium since winning at Monaco in 2018, and the first podium for Renault since returning to the sport in 2016. That's seven different constructors on the podium in 2020.
Pretty cool.
Daniel Ricciardo said this.
Is that a podium, boys? Is that a podium?
That's a podium. Yeah, nice
shot, mate. It's a podium, Daniel. Thank you.
Mega, man, mega.
Oh. Wow. Enjoy this one, guys. Enjoy it.
Enjoy this one.
Is that a podium? Is that an effing podium?
I love.
Did you see it in pocket?
Is that a podium, boys? Is that a podium?
Now he's going to leave Renault at the end of the season and move over to McLaren to take Carlos Sainz's drive. But don't weep for the yellow team as Fernando Alonso returns to F1 next season to drive for Renault. Magnifique.
Love.
Now the podium finish would also settle a bet between the Renault team principal guy, Cyril Abitbol,
the best,
and Daniel Ricciardo. He's going to get a tattoo.
Cyril is.
Yeah. Ricciardo has a lot of tattoos. Cyril's going to get a tattoo. He chooses the spot and size. Ricciardo chooses
the yard.
For what?
Oh, how about for what? And what he did to poor George Russell.
We'll get there. First, we have to service our Mexican listeners. For the Guadalajara and Sergio Perez with another impressive drive to finish his racing point in fourth. His second straight fourth-place finish. It was a 15th consecutive race that Checo has scored at least 1 point for his team. Onale, Checo. But Matt, the driver of the day, goes to Nico Hülkenberg, the super sub. I'll tell you, he was having coffee in Cologne at 11 a.m. on Saturday. He got a phone call from Renault saying in a French accent, Hülkenberg, hurry, we need you here.
From Racing Point.
Yeah. And, with Lance Stroll having taken ill on Sunday morning, Hülkenberg had to ride like the wind.
Oh, yeah.
He had to drive dirty 80 minutes to Nürburgring in his Porsche in order to make the qualifying session later that afternoon. He didn't do that great in qualifying. But on race day, the Hulk gained three spots in the opening lap with an impressive opening stint, thrilled the home country crowd with an eighth-place finish, driving dirty. And he has as many top eight finishes in the last two races this season as Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel. The Hulk.
How about that?
Is without a drive for next season. But he was seen talking to the guys from Haas in the paddock after the race. So.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but I got my first points of the season. Shut up, Romain. I was able to get a couple this time.
So in French, that would be Hülkenberg, hurry, we need you here. Do you know?
I don't know.
Nico! Kitty! And lastly, Matt, as the Kimi Raikkonen show of record, our favorite foul-mouthed Finn did become the all-time leader in Formula One history. For what?
Good question.
For all-time Grand Prix starts. It was the Iceman's 323rd start behind the wheel in Formula One. Kimi celebrated by chunking into George Russell on lap 15, causing the Williams to retire and earning Kimi a 10-second penalty for causing an incident on the track.
I mean, you put Kimi, his car into Kimi. The air, Kimi.
Please.
He was airborne.
No race this weekend. The F1 calendar returns on October 23rd to the port city of Portimão for the Heineken Portugal Grand Prix, the Red Star.
You guys have a lot of sex out there, Ricardo.
Daniel?
You have a lot of sex in Portugal.
And the guy from the band Grizzly Bear who moved to Portugal.
Is that right?
Or Animal Collective. I think Grizzly Bear moved to Portugal. It's another track that joined the F1 calendar in 2020, like Mugello, that has never hosted an F1 event. Compared to the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, the track features long swooping corners, undulating elevation changes. It will be there that All Right Hamilton will go for F1 mortality. And that is your F1 report.
All right.
For Southern California.
All right, Hamilton.
We'll see.
What?
All right, back to the Dodgers' despair and the Astros fighting it out, man.
1-0 Rays, top of the third right now. Cates is not in the other room or else I'd let him celebrate.
Stupid Astros. Correa. Demon man.
We'll let him do it the next time.
I think you need me here when you.